time to hit the reset, maybe, in your own personal life, and you know it when you need it. But sometimes we deny it and we delay too long. Today, we're going to talk about a reset, particularly in marriage, but in our own personal lives, from our Intentional Living Center, along with Jennifer and Steve, and Amy's helping out on the phones today as well. And if you want to call and share a comment ever, you can do so at 888-888-1717. Dr. Randy here as we continue talking about the power of a reset. I've told the story before. I help out sometimes around home with vacuuming, and we got a vacuum with a beater bar, I'm saying, on the carpet, and if my shoes get in the way, I kind of just push them out of the way with the beater bar. And if the shoelace happens to catch into that beater bar, you know what I'm talking about. And then it stops the beater bar, and then you have to pull the thing apart and to figure out how to pull the, anyway. At the end of the day, there's a little button on top that says, this is the reset button for dummies. And sometimes in life, come on, we need a reset button for dummies, don't we? When it comes to our marriage, our family, our personal life, some of you have hit the reset in your life. It's made a difference for God's glory, for your benefit. We're doing the show, continuing today, part two, because of one reason. We want you to be encouraged that you too can hit a reset in your life. And you're going to hear some stories. And again, if you want to share yours on our storyline, do so at 888-888-1717.
Hi, my name is Kim, and I wanted to comment on your radio station. It's just been wonderful about marriage, and we made a little contract, and my husband actually signed it, that we would hug each other before we left, kiss each other when we come home, and before we go to bed. We've been married 45 years and have just lost that, where there's just nothing intimate. I need prayer. It's working. We do have a hard time telling each other we love each other, which is, I don't want to give up. We have four kids, and no matter how old they get, they're affected by divorce. And but if you could pray for us, Mike and Kim, that, we'd have a relationship with worshiping the Lord. He's not a believer. It makes it very difficult. I feel like we're on two different planes, two different worlds. But 45 years, May 11th. Please pray for us. Thank you. When he had said about, acknowledging each other, trying to work. We're trying. I think that's important to try, not give up. Thank you.
You're welcome, Kim. Pray for Kim and her husband. She said something really important, like we're on two different planes, two different planets, going in different directions, different orbits, different priorities. And I give a warning sign to those of you who are thinking about getting into a relationship, dating, getting connected with a person. Maybe you've been married and divorced, or maybe you're thinking of remarrying or for the first time. Remember the passage that says two can't walk together unless they be in agreement. And so make sure, and I don't mean just because we talk about it, we say we agree, but we really know that we are in agreement on the key things in life. It's not about the color of the walls in the bedroom or the model of the car you're going to drive. Those might be interesting discussions. But about your faith, your priorities, your finances, your family, your communication, all of these things that are important to make sure that you connect in those areas. That's critical. Today, we're talking about a reset. Now, to those who are listening and you're married now and you realize that you're bumping up against some areas in those in those important things, and both of you are frustrated. And like the reset, we have to get back to factory settings, and we teach that we want to experience life the way God intended, getting back to factory settings. And so hitting that reset button with money and communication and time and so on, picking one area and say, can we work on this together? I would encourage you to find with your spouse one thing that maybe you're closer to each other with and say, can we work on this one thing over the next 30 days that might make a difference in our marriage and our family? In the process, everybody's going to win. That's for sure. All right, let's get back to the callers. Barbara in Arizona, I appreciate your call. What's been your reset?
Hi, mine is more for a little bit of advice and regret on my part. I was married for 20 years, thought everything was fine, and I got sideblind as well with, you know, three kids, and he just came and said, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, which is a famous saying, I think, for a lot of people. It's an easy way out. And so my regret is, unfortunately, mine ended with a divorce, and it's been a few years now, but if I could save someone else by not doing what I did, I think I'd probably be still together. When he gave those words to me, I wanted answers. I wanted to know, you know, now there was somebody else that he was saying is a friend, but really she wasn't. There was more. And I, you know, just kept pressing that. And if I would have just sat back and let it all, okay, you want a divorce, you know, just not pull on his pant legs. Mm-hmm. If I would have, just listened and then just let it fall through the normal path, I think we might still be together. So my regret, and to help Lindsay, is to not do that. Just, you know, put it in God's hands. And I was the faithful one. I'm the one that goes to church. He doesn't and hadn't at the time. So I tried to draw on that, like, you know, if for God's sake, you know, be with the one who you've been with 20 years, you have three kids, but he didn't want that because his faith was not at the same level, which is fine. That's everybody's different levels there. But my regret is that I wanted answers. I, you know, went over to where he was. He left here and went to her house and claimed they were just friends. But I wanted to know, you know, a lot of questions. I just had so much curiosity on what was going on and, you know, kind of a little bit of desperality. And that was what I regret is that. And I didn't get into counseling immediately, which maybe they would have told me that. I don't know. They probably said just sit back. And so that's my regret, to help her to just, like you said, put it in God's hands and use your faith. And just if it happens, you can't. And the biggest thing is control. You're trying to control their love. And I was like, how could you not, you know, love me? What is, I didn't do anything wrong. We never fought. And I think that's the problem is, there was no warning of this. You know, I had raised my kids. We were doing good. I just had no idea. And so for her to get that call, it brought me through the whole thing again. Yeah. And so my regret is that if she could just sit back and completely let him go what he's going through. And I think that he might find that that's not the answer, because I think when my ex-husband now separated, I think he was really confused and really was not really wanting to go through with it. But because I was pushing and, you know, wanted answers, I think I pushed him away. So I have a little bit of regret there, you know.
Yeah, I hear that, Barbara. Thank you for your call. And you remind me that at the very peak of what we talk about with intentional living is to get back to that point in our lives where we either have that aha moment. That's what you had. Now you've had an aha moment as you look back and you're saying, you know, I could have, I see if I were going through that again, I would have handled it differently. We don't know what the outcome would be. And that's not even necessarily our responsibility. But we are responsible to have some awareness. But at that moment, it wasn't an aha experience for you. It was an oh no experience. Your spouse is going in a different direction. We call it getting blindsided. And today, some of you have been blindsided. You didn't see it coming. Maybe in marriage, it could have been blindsided with your health or something with your kids or some area of your life you just didn't see it. Like an accident, it just happens. It's one of those oh no moments in life. Here's the thing. Whenever we have an aha moment, God reveals, the Holy Spirit explains, there's that moment of awareness. Or on the other hand, it's an oh no moment you didn't see coming. You have a choice to make. And the choice is this. You can either focus on one thing and get focused spiritually or relationally, make a one thing decision, the right decision, and act on it every day. Or you can move from one thing to many things. Worry, fear, try this, try that. That's what you heard Barbara say. She was trying many different things. I'll follow him to that place. I'll do this, I'll do that, in a way of trying to control something. And in the process, which, by the way, is a very unintentional way of living, she lost out. There's an example in Scripture that we use here at Intentional Living. You've heard the story of Mary and Martha, the two sisters, where Jesus came to their house for dinner. Big deal, right? Martha got really wound up with many things. She was concerned about who was serving, who was helping clean the pots and pans, and all of the things. And yet here's Jesus, the Son of God, in her house. And Mary sitting at Jesus' feet to worship and to hear and to experience. And Jesus quietly turns to Martha and says, "Martha, Martha, you worry about so many things. And here's Mary, she's picked the better part." And so bringing this back to the practical part of your life today, if you've had that aha or oh no moment in your life, I think it's better to be more like a Mary, to get at the feet of Jesus and say, "What should I do next? Where am I? I want to have this intimate, close relationship with my Heavenly Father and know how I can experience my life and act next on what God's intention is," versus like Martha worrying about many different things. All right. We're talking about the power of living intentionally when you need to do a reset in your life. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. Got some more calls. You can share your comment on our storyline at 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Hi, Dr. Randy. In 6 months to a year, I will be done with college after a long road. But God has opened the doors, and your show has helped me so much to realize that living intentionally, not only in my life but in my marriage, is so worth it, and that God has definitely got to be first. And I really appreciate the work that you do.
Well, you're welcome. We're glad to be involved in your life through the radio, and we got our podcast ministry that, of course, goes around the world from the radio program, events and publications and books and things that we create with one goal. Our mission is really very clear and very simple and very straightforward, powerful, life-changing mission. And it's for you to experience your life today the way God intended, to experience your marriage the way God intended, your finances, your health, whatever it may be. What is God's intention? What is it he desires for you? What is his hope for you? What does the Bible teach? What does the Holy Spirit reveal about your life today? We want the best for you. We know it's a hope and a future. We know God's intention is for more peace and purpose in your life. And when that's not being experienced, our hearts ache, and we want to help you to experience that. So it's a very practical sort of a discipleship approach to walking along with you, each of us sharing together as a community, walking through life together for God's glory and for each of our benefit. And I want to say thanks to our members, the support family who underwrite the ministry. You're welcome to be a part of it today when you call 888-888-1717 or go to theintentionallife.com.
Hi, my name's Diana. I was listening to your program about reset. I'm a widow now. My husband and I were separated for 12 years. We separated for different reasons. I was a believer, and he just couldn't handle that. When we got married again, he had gotten saved. God gave me above and beyond what I had prayed for in a man. We were both committed to each other to make it work, and it was just an awesome almost 23 years. Love covers a multitude of sin. We shouldn't sweat the small stuff. You know, communication is everything in commitment.
Very true. Thank you, Diana. Let me go to Renee. Renee, what have you learned about this resetting business?
I've learned that you can't change anyone, whether it be your spouse, your kid. I've learned that, I guess, the hard way. I've experienced the heartache of trying to change someone and them not wanting to change, them not wanting to be a part of the change. And
well, how did you try to change? Was this your husband?
Yes.
How did you try to change him?
From alcohol use.
So you tried to fix it?
Yes.
Oh.
And now we're separated, going over a year now. And I just learned to let it go, and let God work in my life first to help me change first. And learning as the days go by that I need to let go of the anger, the hurt, and focus on me to be stronger as far as my faith and believing that God can do it His way.
Amen. Renee, a lot of people will be praying for you. Many listeners walking along the same path that you're on, and that awareness, we talk about aha moments, that aha experience of saying, I can't change this guy. I've tried. I think it's a better way of living. He's not listening or she's not listening. And so we can become angry and resentful and controlling and all of those things, which really at the end of the day, we shoot ourselves in the foot and our marriage in the foot, right? Instead of being able to back off and say, Lord, this is your child. And, you know, I love him and her, and I'm going to do all I can to be obedient to you, but let you do the work you need to do. Okay, let me go over to New Mexico. Patrick's on the line. Patrick, what's going on with your reset in your marriage?
Well, I really don't know that we actually hit a reset button that would actually take effect, because it almost seems like it's not happening God's way, although both of us profess to be in Christ. But when I was listening to Amy, it really struck a chord, because what she was saying is what's going on in my marriage. Although there's probably some things that I have done to create it in the past, but that's one issue, is I'm not able to leave my past behind because it keeps being picked up and thrown in my face.
Yeah.
And it just seems like nothing is ever good enough. There's always something, and the emotion thing is overwhelming.
So it's fair to say you're stuck, and that you're not, we're using the word progress, you're not progressing together. You don't have some goals and vision and working on things together. You're sort of just stuck day to day in the marriage as far as your communication and so on.
I would say that's accurate. We will make a decision to go in a certain direction, and it just never seems to occur.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to do what I'm asked to do. Of course, the five love languages, I've gone through that, and I'm trying to do that, but it just seems like if it's not one thing, it's another, and I'm just... I'm at my wit's end.
Wow. Listen, brother, we love you and want the best for you. And you know what? It sounds like your spouse, you both sort of agree, but then you don't do it. You're both on this kind of on the same page of wanting something different, a reset, kind of like you hit the reset, you know, but it's not connected to anything. And you think after you hit it, it's going to go somewhere. I call this the valley of good intentions. In other words, we both want this, but then we're not living intentionally to make it happen. It ain't going to happen on its own. there's a point where we say, hey, the old pattern ain't working anymore, and we got to make some changes. We live in a broken, imperfect world. And when something is broken and been maybe imperfect, because the world's imperfect, it's got to be glued back together, and you're using the wrong glue. You know, more of a post-it note approach. You stick the post-it note on the mirror, but it'll fall off after a while, roll up and fall off with the steam, right? And that's true in our marriages as well. We put things that need to be permanent and fixed for God's glory, and we use a post-it note instead. And so I would encourage you to really focus on, okay, what's going to be the glue here in our marriage? Forgiveness, recognizing the issues, agreeing on being intentional and doing the next right one thing, having accountability, which may be in the form of a counselor or being with your pastor or a small group, but continuing to do the same thing over and over is just going to leave you in this valley of good intentions. I asked my dad shortly before he died, I said, Dad, if you could live your life all over again, what would you do differently? And he told me those words that I've shared before. He said, Randy, if I could live my whole life all over again, I wouldn't have spun my wheels quite so much. A lot of activity, a lot of motion, you know, a lot of things going on, but not really being in that sweet spot of what God had for him. Well, you know, I had a few conversations like that with my dad near the end of his life, and that one just really stuck in my memory. Clearly, the spinning the wheels, how looking back saying I could have done things differently. Now, my dad lived a very successful life and at so many levels and loved the Lord and was a good dad and a good provider, good with people, loved ministry. But when he found that sweet spot in his life, and I think that's what he's referencing, some of the years, not so much wasted years in terms of just living without any meaning or purpose. That wasn't it. My dad lived with a lot of meaning and purpose. But I think in our lives, we find a place sometimes where there's a sweet spot, you know, that sweet spot that God has placed us. It may be in ministry, you know, in a full-time type of ministry, or it could be the ministry right there in your family or your workplace. There are so many places that you can be that you're going to find that kind of fulfillment that can make a huge difference in your life and your relationships. That story is a reminder about the power of finding that dream that God's placed in our life. It's an excerpt from the teaching that's available in our member exclusive site at theintentionallife.com. All right. Got time, I think, for you, Tim. Appreciate your call from Arizona. Sounds like you went through a lot to get that reset in your marriage.
Our oldest son took his own life 23 years ago.
Oh, boy.
And it really, we became hyper-focused on the problem. I mean, it consumed us, obviously.
Sure.
And as a man, which is really why I'm calling in for men, I didn't even know how to pray. I was too angry. I was too upset. My prayers were venting. And so I went to the Lord's Prayer. I just started with worship. And this was with my wife, and it sounds easy on the radio, but it wasn't. But by God's grace, hallowed be your name. And for a long time, that's all I could tell him. I didn't have any other good thing to say about him.
Yeah.
And then, your kingdom come, your will be done. I didn't want to say that either, but I took him at his word. And then our kids were falling apart and my marriage was falling apart. So we took the physical needs of our marriage and family to the Lord. Give us our daily bread. And I really went to God the Father to help us in the physical realm. Then I talked to Jesus about us forgiving one another, because our kids at times blamed us. They wrote us letters. You know, I mean, it was just a horrific time. And Jesus began to heal us and fill us up with forgiveness, because we had to forgive ourselves for some stuff. You just do. You're a parent. You're not perfect. And then we were able to forgive one another. And then lead us not into temptation always frustrated me, because the Bible says God doesn't tempt, yet he put the garden, he put the tree in the middle of the garden. He didn't hide it off in a corner. And we realize that every day we have a decision to either trust his word and take him at his word, or trust in our own strength. And unfortunately, as a man, it took years for this to work out. I decided I could handle my family better than God himself. And it took several years till I finally broke. But I'm here to tell you that 23 years later, we're not just surviving, we're thriving. My kids have even been able to help friends, because this is an epidemic. And to this day, my wife and I still use the Lord's Prayer. We begin with worship. And I know as a man, if you have a grid, if you have a game plan, if you have a play to play, it's much easier than I'm not good enough to pray, right? You're looking at yourself rather than who are we talking to? God has completely healed my family when it looked like we were all falling apart.
Wow. What a message, Tim. My goodness. You think about what God's done in your life, and the message I hear is that you had a game plan, you stuck with it through the tough times, you didn't bail out, didn't wimp out, you hung in there, you worked it through. Years later, you look back and say, thank you, Lord, look where we are today. You know, that's a powerful message.
Yeah, well, I would say it had nothing to do with me, really, because I did wimp out and I did bail out, but I had something that I could go to go, okay, I can at least pray the Lord's Prayer, right? Because I was out of it, and I know there's men out there right now that they don't have another word to pray.
Yeah.
There are none.
That's true, and I'm sure we have many men and women listening with that reality. Thank you, Tim. You know, Tim had a huge oh no experience that became an aha moment for him. Maybe that's you today. Well, just reflect on some of the things you've heard. Share it with others. Thanks for being a part of our family here at Intentional Living, a part of Intentional Life Media. Thank you, Jennifer and Stephen, Amy, and the rest of the team here in our marketing department, all of our team upstairs. Thank you for all that you do as well. I get to play a part of it. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. We'll see you next time from Intentional Life Media.